I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And it is a honor and privilege indeed to be joined in studio for the first time by the Wave God fashion mogul, Drip Drip.
Man.
Wave God Supreme Bay. Welcome to the show, man.
I'm honored to be here, guys. I love being on you guys' show. Thank you.
Let's go over a few things. You're in Memphis. What brings you back to Memphis this weekend?
I wanted to, like, touch the people again. I haven't really been here in over a decade.
Wow.
And now I have a scholarship fund where we're sending students who can't afford to go to college but who are eligible to the University of Memphis tuition free. So I didn't feel comfortable doing that from abroad. You know, now I live in Mexico, and I actually wanted to come in immerse myself in the city again and feel the energy and also let people know what we're doing. Like, we're sending kids to school.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm excited about that, and that's why I'm back.
What did it feel like being back up there? We saw the picture.
Yeah, so earlier today I ran 7 miles, so I was in it's like one of my rituals. I get up and I run. I'm a runner. I still like to keep myself in great shape. So I ran to the campus from Midtown today.
And, dig that.
And it was just like, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful feeling. Being back on campus, the home that Antonio Anderson built. I wanna make sure I send a birthday shout out to my brother Antonio Anderson.
100.
Congratulations, Antonio, for his head coaching job. I'm still pushing to get Antonio on the staff at Memphis. Hopefully, in the near future, Penny can do that. Congratulations, Penny, too. Number one class in the country.
How about that?
Yeah, for the first time. Even we didn't have the number one class in the country. So this is a monumental time for Memphis, and the tides are turning back in our favor.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, you were on campus. We mentioned that. That was the first time you've been back on campus in, you said, 10 years.
10 years, yeah.
Like, what is going through your mind when you're back on campus? It's been that long.
Looks different, clearly.
It looks different, and nostalgia, of course, nostalgia.
Yeah.
I haven't touched a basketball, though, in over 2 years. I haven't, like, shot a jump shot or anything in over 2 years, but being back on campus today, I told Raven, it made me want to hoop again. It
wow.
made me kind of just want to get back in the gym. I walked past the Finch Center where we spent, you know, countless hours perfecting our craft. And it just gave me that itch to, you know, go pick up a basketball.
Brother, go on, get in that Lori Walton facility, it's called now, and go and play.
Finch anymore?
My goodness.
Wow.
There is a $22 million facility. It's on South Campus. Y'all got to go as soon as you leave. And it's called the Lori Walton facility. It's the new Finch. It's the new
one. Wow.
It's 22, and they are in there, and you got James White. Brother, they are having the best pickup games in the world, and I'm sure they would love to have you if you feel the need to
I might have to
that jumper back out.
I might have to pop in there. I have to train before I just walk in there. I'm not like, you know, I'm not naive like that. I know those guys are, you know,
got
at the top
there.
Of their game. Yeah, so I don't want to go in there and embarrass myself, but I definitely felt that bug today.
Yeah, it's like we call it the White House because they have like pillars outside. Like it looks like a palace for real.
Oh, I gotta go check.
Yeah,
it out.
Yeah, you got
really
to.
One of the best in the country, man. Something to be proud of. You would be, I'm sure.
I'm definitely proud. I'm
and
a
you got
Memphis
your
Tiger.
You're gonna
forever.
See. I'm sure your picture's all through that thing. All the old days, you're gonna see. You gotta go.
Actually, I think you are. Did you ever like? I mean, I guess it's never intentional, right? But did you ever feel like you lost touch with Memphis?
Yeah, because I mean, once you leave college, like real life starts,
right?
I mean, immediately you don't really have any time on your hands to do anything but focus on being in the NBA and focus on your professional career. But not being back, of course, you're gonna lose touch a little bit. Like I said, I haven't been back in 10 years. So much has happened since then. Mm-hmm. I mean, so much happens in a year. So imagine a decade going by.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just feel like you've lost touch a little bit. And that's why I'm back, man. I wanna regain that trust within the community. I want them to know that even though I've been gone, nothing has changed. I still bleed blue forever.
Have you changed at all on your... You told us one time on the phone, the few times we've had you on, that one of the reasons maybe, you know, if Memphis has wanted to retire your number, you made the point, well, I'd like all of our numbers retired.
Yeah.
If there's a way to do... Are you still... You still feel that way? I mean, the way you spoke about tone, I imagine you do. That
yes.
You want it to be all y'all.
Yes, because it's always been about team.
Yes.
I was a part of that team. So...
Got you.
I understand that I was an All-American and I had a pretty good career, but I was standing on the shoulders of my teammates the whole time. And having my jersey retired is really not a big deal to me personally.
I got you.
It'll be a big deal if I was able to get all of our jerseys retired, but that doesn't mean that even I would like it if we could get our jerseys retired, but guys could still wear our numbers. Like, I still want people to wear 14. I want kids to wear 14. I want that to live on. Like, it's always about team.
I think there's a way you can recognize the team. You know what I mean? Like, that was a special... I mean, I know there's, like, some whatever, but, mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a way that the team could be recognized. You know what I mean? As mm-hmm. For what it meant to Memphis and the community.
Yeah. We already, like... cemented into the culture, Memphis college basketball. We're cemented. 100%. Everybody is going to remember that 2008, 2009, that run that we had. Mm-hmm. But if it's a jersey retirement, I just would prefer for it to be all of us there being recognized for what we accomplished instead of just me.
Yeah, you mentioned you ran 7 miles from campus to Midtown. Like, it ain't just the University of Memphis that's changed. Like, How much different has the city become? Like, since
it's developed like it should.
Yeah.
You know, like it should. I remember when I first got to campus, it wasn't as developed as it is
now. No doubt.
And I think we had a little bit to do with that. Like, I'm aware of the economy now. Like, I'm aware mm-hmm. of the economics now. So I know that 4-year run that we had brought the economy up as well, not just for the campus, not just for the university. People were flying in to see the number one team in the country play. People were on Beale Street spending money. So we had a little bit to do with that.
When you were running 7 miles through the heart of Memphis, are people doing double takes and saying, man, I think that might be, or are you so in your zone in the 7 mile run that you don't even see what's going on around you? Because I imagine you were creating quite a scene running down the street.
Yeah, I can feel it. I can feel it a little bit.
Were there any car wrecks or anything?
No, I mean, no wrecks.
Did you have the grill in when you were running?
I did. Might,
wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I would have
wrecked. Is that removable or no?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But I was so locked in. When I'm running, I'm just locked in. I'm in the street. I'm trying not to get hit by cars. I was hoping that, you know, it was wet. It was a little rainy, too. I was just focused on not getting hit, not getting sized.
Everything you do, you lock in.
That's you. Gotta lock in with most things, but most of the time.
I've always wanted this, and I hope you won't mind. I hope I'm not asking too personal questions. But you and Raven,
mm-hmm.
who is with us here, by the way, the story of you all meeting and the courtship and all, man, I would love to know from both of you guys, but definitely from you,
mm-hmm.
was it love at first sight? Brother, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, y'all, this has been a love thing for a while now. I'd love to hear about how it started.
Well...
It's two different stories.
Let's get her on the mic.
It's like Martin. Do y'all remember that Martin episode where Martin and Gina were talking about how they first met and they all had different stories?
Yeah.
That's how this is. But I'm gonna let Raven talk about
it. We got a mic over here for you. We're ready for you.
Please
come on now.
Please come around. I remember when I was covering it at the Helms, but then when Raven was playing. You know what I'm saying?
I want to know.
Forever ago.
I want to know how
we can compare
good
notes.
Of a player was Raven.
She was cold.
She was cold.
Wow. She was cold.
He's never seen me play. Well, other than we've played 2-on-2 at a gym in Milwaukee 10 years ago. We played 2-on-2. He was working out, and it was two, like, high school kids in the gym. So him and I played 2-on-2 versus these two kids. And, of course, he taking his time. He chilling, shooting jumpers. I'm going hard, talking noise. But that's the only time he's really, like, seen
so
me.
So he never saw you play?
No, you know, I'm 4 years older than him.
That's it.
So when he was graduating high school, I was graduating from the University of Memphis.
Yep.
Right.
So how, tell me about the...
So, yeah.
There's a few different stories.
Right. So, again, I mentioned I'm older than him, right? Mm-hmm. So when we met... He was 20 years old. I was 24 years old. Mm. So we met, I guess, informally, like just in passing at the time, you know, knowing who each other were just because we were both former. I mean, I was a former athlete. So he knew, you know, like I knew who she was. And then one magical night in 2007, this 20-year-old guy was in Senses Nightclub.
I remember Senses.
Yes, we were in Senses Nightclub. So at the time, being 20, right, not even legal, right? He's 20, not even 21. So we were in Senses that night, me and my friends and my sister. And at that time, it was my first time going. It had been months since I'd gone out. So this time I was like, I'm going to have the time of my life. It's been months. It's going to be a great night.
Okay.
So that night in 2007, it was packed in there. It was also, it was March. So it was like during their conference tournament, right? So it was during that time. They in Senses. But anyway.
I love it.
Right? So they were in there.
Oh, wow, man.
DCTG,
right,
baby.
Right? So they were, yeah, so they were in there having a good time. And, you know, the drinks were flowing for me. I don't know about him. But we kind of, like,
locked eyes
in a way. But it could have been more, like, tipsy, drunken eyes for me. But anyway, I mean, so anyway, yeah. So that was the night where it was just, we talked and we flirted. And I talked mad noise to him because I'm like, you're a baby. You're 20. Like, you can't even buy me a drink because you're a babe. I'm 24. So it really started that way. It was just, I thought he was a cutie, you know, but I still was like, oh, but you're a baby. Like, you're young. Like, I'm a graduate at this point, right? So so anyway, that was then, and we had a good night. We just, like, flirted and stuff, and then, you know, he went on to, like, win the championship.
Of course.
Yeah. And then, I mean, that was it. And so then we Facebooked each other. That's when Facebook was, like, the main form of social media. And he was like, I don't really be on Facebook like that, which is true. He, you know, and so he gave me his phone numbers. He had two. And yeah, that the rest is, I guess, kind of history after that. It was like it started that night, though. Let him tell it, though. He'll tell you she was all over me.
For sure.
I can tell by the look on his face.
Oh, boy.
He's going to get
sure.
a different story.
Right. So that's kind of how it was. It started out, though, as like, you know, here's a guy who's cute, but he's young, and there's really nothing I can do with him. As this old 24-year-old girl, you know? I'm just too old for him. And then, you know, the more that we talked, I immediately saw once we did get on the phone, like, he's an old soul. Like, he'd been here before. Mm-hmm. And so I was immediately intrigued because I'm like, you 20, but you talk like you 45. Like, what is this? So, yeah, it started off like, I mean, it was just, I was intrigued. The more we talked, the more I wanted to know more. And the more I wanted, like, tell me more. And so.
That's
a beautiful story.
Yeah, that's accurate. I'm going to roll with that.
Yeah.
But she was all over me, though. She definitely was, though. Definitely. But she is supposed to be.
Senses Nightclub. That's a rare success story from Senses, I would imagine.
We passed it. Well, the old Senses we saw last night, we were trying to show our kids, like, look, y'all, this is where mommy and daddy met. And of course, they didn't care.
Yeah.
But
what
but
is that like? Y'all as parents. I've watched a little bit on YouTube. It looks awesome.
So fun.
Like, y'all's family looked awesome.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's...
You learn more about yourself as a parent almost than you do before you have kids.
Absolutely. Yeah, it makes you even more focused.
Yes, sir.
You develop more of a patience, and you have a different type of love for your children that you just can't explain. It's like they're your children. You want them to be happy at all costs, but you also want to do a great job as a parent. You want to make sure that you're raising them the proper way, and we're still learning as parents. I was so young when I had my daughter, and I wouldn't have it any other way. I love being a young parent. I love boxing with Vito. I love it. It's fun, but you can still be a rock star too. Like, you can still have fun, you can still travel, and you can still do the things that you were doing. That doesn't mean life slows down. You just have to prioritize now for your children.
There you go. There you go. He does sound like an old soul, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Sound like an old, been a parent a long time.
You mentioned it at the beginning. You guys moved to Mexico.
Yes, sir.
There are people in Memphis right now who are listening like, what? Mexico? Mm-hmm. Why Mexico? Why is that the move?
Well, San Miguel is recognized as one of the most beautiful cities in the world. And we just stumbled across it. Like, that's how we operate. We don't commit to one place. Like, I can't be somewhere for a long time. I want to be able to see the world. I want to be able to live everywhere. I want to be able to experience different places in the world. And when we were looking for a place to move, that was just our best option. And we moved blindly. Like, mm-hmm. when we moved to Arizona, it was a blind move. We didn't go visit Arizona. That was our first time being in Scottsdale. And that's the same thing we did with San Miguel. We seen the pictures and we saw the house.
That's living
and we
right there.
Uprooted and, just and left.
Didn't even see the house. And that is how we operate. It's kind of like we get kind of cabin fever. And it's like, you know what? We're ready for a change of scenery. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go on the internet and then we'll look. And it's like we'll fall in love with the house and then hope that the rest take care of itself. And luckily, that's exactly what happened. It was like we found a dope spot in San Miguel.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh, let's Google about the city. And then all these articles come up about this is the number one city in the world. And we're like, oh, it's meant to be.
You got a hot tub in that thing?
Yes.
Yeah. I see you post about that on Instagram. You're in that hot tub all the time.
Man, I run 7 miles. I got to recover, man. Got to recover.
That's a long way from living in New Jersey, like your second mm-hmm. year in the league and having, didn't you have like two Bengal cats in your condo and they were tearing everything up?
Yeah. And that's why I don't have them anymore.
Well, you got a stray cat, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Really, now I do. Yeah,
we
went
adopted
to
her.
We adopted her. Mm-hmm. And it was really for my daughter. My daughter really wanted a cat. And we had two cats. One of them, we adopted two cats. I don't know where the other one went. He didn't like being a house cat, so.
We think he ran off. And we lived in Arizona near the mountains. So we think he just wanted to go into the wild blue yonder mm-hmm. and be free. And so we had to, like, tell the kids that, like, you know, we think Slick Rick really didn't want to be domesticated. We think he wanted to, his name. He had one eye. That's what we
said. Okay, that makes sense then.
So, he has Slick Rick. So, they ask about him still now. We're like, we think he just wanted to be free.
That's what it was.
Is there anyone in basketball, anybody, a sport that you've clearly moved on from that makes Supreme Bay, even you, Raven, stop and watch? I get the feeling that life follows y'all. Like, y'all go. But is there, do you stop? Well, the finals, are you, you know? Do you still pay attention, or did you stop and watch?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because I'm in the sports agent world.
Yep, that's
you
right.
You know,
that's right.
I'm part owner of Trap Sports. So right now I'm studying for my exam to become a certified agent.
Big bad.
So I'm quiet, but I watch basketball from high school, college, to the pros. I'm still a basketball head. I'm still a basketball fan. I love everything about the game. I even go back and watch old Jordan highlights, Magic highlights. I just don't watch highlights of myself. But I'm scouting right now.
Like, you told us that last time, and you got your eye on guys already.
Yeah. I can't say their names, but...
Oh, we know who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, we know a couple of them.
By next year, you guys will definitely know.
Yeah, so do you think the fact that you play basketball and you've seen the highs, you've seen the lows, like you've done it at all levels, mm-hmm. that's something that's going to separate you as an agent? I feel like
Absolutely.
That's the whole thinking behind it.
Absolutely. Can your agent beat you one-on-one?
Mm.
I can still play, but also I can watch film with my clients. You know, I can tell them certain things that other agents can't who never played. Like, you know, I seen you take a play off right there. Why didn't you hedge on that pick and roll, you know, I understand the language that most agents don't. And I'm still young and we still have a lot in common. Like, I have the same thing on my iPod as my possible client. So that being so relatable and being so young and still being someone that's relevant to those guys is going to separate me. That's the whole point. That was the whole point. I wanted to be an agent, but I didn't want to just dive in it without any experience, because I respect the current agents. They've been putting in work for years, so yeah. That's why I'm focused on this exam. I really want to pass it with flying colors so I can enter the agency world the proper way.
Does it rub you the wrong way when people sit and try to figure you out? I've read tons of stories where you even vocalize. You say, I know they're trying to figure me out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking differently than they are.
Yeah.
But when folks are trying to put you in the box and try, it seems like does it frustrate you?
At times. Yeah, I'm human. So any human who reads something that's not true about them, especially in a negative light, it's going to rub you the wrong way. But I've learned how to deal with it. I've learned that when you do things that are outside of the norm, criticism is going to follow. And that's just a part of the game. Also, when you're pioneering, like mm-hmm. I retired, I changed my name, like yeah. Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
People want to put you in a box and categorize you like, oh, he's lost his mind, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Which is true. You know, all of the crazy people changed the world. And change things and just change the paradigm of what the norm is. So I understand I'm in that light too. And I have to know that what comes with that
yep.
is criticism and being misunderstood. And that's fine. That's fine with me.
Raven, I'd like to ask you something, because I would imagine, you know, to be along for the ride
yes.
in the way that you are, I mean, you were there through the basketball years, it must require an unbelievable belief in your husband, right? Because,
absolutely.
I mean, it is a drastic change when
absolutely.
You go.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I say this all the time to him, too, is that I would always bet it all on him. And that's just because his track record has shown that when he says he's going to do something, he always follows through.
Yeah.
And that's with our family, with anything. Like, he is a man of his word. So if an idea seems crazy or far-fetched to the normal person, it's like, no, I've seen the work. I believe you. What you got? I'm here. Let's do it. You know? So I literally will always bet it all on him. Always. Like, it's like, you know, if he – and, again, he's one of the smartest people I've ever met. So I'm not following a dummy here, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like mm-hmm. this guy, he puts in the work, like he mentioned, you know, being an agent.
Yeah.
What's going to also separate him is that he really is a student of the game.
No
like,
doubt.
He really understands the game of basketball. Like,
yep.
he's not just a former player that did good and has some highlights. It's like, no, when he was a player, he was really studying film for hours. Like, he was really, you know, studying, like, plays, and he knows every position. So, he's brilliant.
Yeah.
And so, you know, for me, it's been such a ride, you
yeah.
know, because, I mean, as he's grown, I've grown, we've grown together. It's been tremendous. So, yeah, I mean, it's been easy, though, because, again, his track record has shown that, you know, if he says I'm going to do something,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be follow through, and then there's going to be success behind it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it makes it so much easier for me, honestly. It does. Yeah.
I get the sense, and you tell me if I'm wrong, but just looking at the smile that came across your face when you talked about putting kids in college. When we talk about purpose, and for the two of you, because you're essentially one now, it mm-hmm. seems like, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm trying to feel it where you're coming from, that it's just to make everywhere you go a better place.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's kids getting into college or whatever, improving a situation for a guy as his agent,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're on. I'm trying to figure, am I close? Is that
yeah.
it? Is it just making it the world a better place?
Yeah, in a sense. In a sense. And, using your platform once you get it
yeah.
is important, and you have to really take that seriously.
I'm with you more than you know.
And
amen.
Once I announced that I was going to have a scholarship fund, and it was designed for Memphis students only,
yep.
people in Detroit were like, come on, what are you going to do for Detroit?
Right.
But they don't understand it's steps that you have to take. And there's no better first step to take than in Memphis, because I can come in here and have this platform. I'm so thankful that you guys gave me this platform to talk about this. And in Detroit, I don't necessarily have this platform, even though I'm from there. So it's just strategically doing your part with your platform. And that's why it's hard for me to, like, talk about myself and make it about me, because that's not the type of charity that I'm trying to do. Like, it's really... for a kid who is just like me from the inner city who wasn't blessed with height and talent to be able to get a scholarship.
Yeah.
Because if I didn't play basketball, we didn't have money saved up to get a scholarship to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I was blessed with height, talent, and a work ethic to be able to get one. But thinking about all of my friends who couldn't get where I got and who are still stuck and those opportunities weren't there for them, it affected their whole life. I mean, it still affects them. So one opportunity can change the whole trajectory of a kid's life. So, I mean, I just look at it as something as simple as using my platform in the right way.
Yeah.
That's it.
And can people go on the website to apply? Like, what's the best way for any kind of candidate for that to apply?
Yeah, so you definitely would visit our website, www.cdrsupremedream.org. And yeah, it's a simple application process. You kind of fill out, you know, why you want to go to the University of Memphis, the reasons behind it. And yeah, and it explains everything there on the website. Everything's right there. And yeah, like you said, that's basically what we're going to do, because we know when people graduate college, the first thing that they're hit with are the loans that they have to pay back, right? It's like, okay,
exactly.
We just went to school, now pay us all these 40 grand.
Oh,
so
God.
Yeah, we're like, if we're in a position to try to help somebody, you know, start off their first, you know, career, you know, debt-free, like, oh, that would be awesome. Because again, that's what we did. My sisters and I were lucky enough to, we got basketball scholarships. Our parents couldn't otherwise afford to send three of us to college, you know, that's a lot of money. So yeah, it's like, however we can help, we want to do it. Like, that's definitely, that's our goal. And we feel like, you know, if we're going to do it, let's try to do it in a big way, you know. Let's really try to do it.
Y'all are on one, and it's an important one that you're on.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling.
And Memphis made CDR popular. Like, I'm aware of that.
Yeah.
I wasn't CDR until I got to Memphis.
Yeah.
I was other nicknames, but CDR became popular once I got here.
Yeah.
And that nickname has followed me for the rest of my life. So I understand, like, a big part of my success or popularity is because of this city. So that's why we're back.
You know, Memphis loves you back for that.
Yeah, we're going to send – look, we're sending kids to school. We guarantee that. We're going to send kids to school annually,
well,
no matter what. Like, we're going to send kids to school.
And we've already had, like, so many applicants, too. So it's been great. It's been a lot of local Memphis people. They've been applying and telling their story. And
awesome.
A lot of people, it's funny, a lot of the majority, they want to stay home. They want to stay in Memphis. They want to be close to their family. They want to provide for their family.
Yep.
They want a lot of these are first generational people to go to college. So again, all the stories are great, man. And it's like, it's going to be so difficult to really choose, you know, one person, which is why we want to grow. So we can, you know, be able to grow and send multiple people to school every year, you know, for our first goal. We just like, if we can send one, it's like, oh man, we're in there. But our goal is to send dozens, you know, because, again, it's so many applicants, and it's like, how are we going to choose? And we have a board, of course, to determine, but it's great stories. And you see that the big takeaway, though, is that a lot of students here, they love their city. They love their family. They don't want to go too far. They love the University of Memphis.
Yep.
They love the tradition that has been built. They love, you know, they want to bleed that blue. So we're just happy that we can provide an avenue for that. And, you know, we're hoping that it grows and grows.
It will.
And becomes a great thing here for the city. So.
Yeah, it's admirable. Real quick, I don't want to let you out of here just like that fast now.
I'm here. I'm here.
Because, you know, you've done it at Memphis and you've been on amazing teams. You know, they have the number one recruiting class, and it's a seven man class.
Mm-hmm.
And all these guys are young and they want to get to the league and they want to do it as fast as possible. So how is Penny going to be able to, you know, what's it going to take to be able to manage that and to harness it and to get it to buy in for the greater good?
Well, one thing we know that Penny can recruit. He can recruit. Look how quickly he got the number one class. So that's the most important part of coaching in college. You have to be able to draw top talent to your college. So that's a part of coaching. I don't think people understand that. That is a major part of coaching. Can you lure top talent? Now, he has them on campus. Now, this is Penny's challenge. Now he has to coach them and create a chemistry that works and makes it a winning tradition.
Yeah.
That's what Cal did. And it took a while, though.
Right.
Like, Cal didn't do that in his first year, second year. It takes a while to be able to mold talent and get them all to buy in to create that winning tradition.
Right.
So we have to see. Like, we all have to see. I believe in Penny, though. Like I said the last time I was on the show, Penny is going to take this. I said it right. Yeah. Penny is going to take this back to how it used to feel. He's already restoring the feeling. Now he has to prove to himself, which I believe he can do,
yeah,
that he can coach this talent.
Right.
And not just coach them on the court. You have to coach them mentally, too.
Right. No doubt.
You have to coach each of these high top prospects into their role. That's the tough part.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm not a coach. Like, coaching personalities is different when it's a bunch of talent.
Right.
They all have this idea of making it to the NBA, going pro. And it's different now with social media,
mm-hmm.
because social media makes it even more of a popularity contest.
No doubt.
Who can get where, who gets the most likes, who has the most followers. So Penny is going to have to coach his ass off, but I believe he can do it, though. Yeah. I believe in this coaching staff.
And y'all had to earn your scars, too.
Absolutely.
Like, that was another thing. It's like, I mean, you didn't come in necessarily as freshmen. I mean, they have mm-hmm. the fourth best odds to win the national championship. I mean, wow. you guys had to build.
Work to that mm-hmm. spot.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that was another thing, I think, that by the time that D. Rose enrolled, like, y'all were ready. Like, y'all yep. were ready-made, you know, situation.
Yeah, D. Rose was, like, that final piece. He was that final piece. We already were, like, putting in that work. We were going to Elite Eights. But when I recruited Derek, I knew that he was that piece that was going to take us to that championship, that yeah. Final Four, because we could never break that. We were going to Elite Eights, but we couldn't get to that Final Four. And believe it or not, freshman talent can get you to a Final Four. It's just about talent. The beauty of having a freshman who has not played any college basketball is he has a confidence that you can't really teach. He's already a top prospect. He believes that he's just going to come yep. into college and do the same. So that confidence is rare. Once you get in college and you're there for a couple years, a lot of guys' confidence goes down. So if they have these top recruiting classes like Kentucky and Duke, yep. it's a reason these programs are always in the Final Four in a national championship game with freshmen. Freshmen can make it happen.
Yeah.
Do you mind? One more. I got one more. One more. And if you don't mind, Raven, you don't mind, because it feels like time is going, you know, maybe that's a side effect of you. Like, you come in the time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I think it's so important just listening to y'all, because maybe you don't even meet Raven. There's no senses that night.
Mm-hmm.
But when you decided to pick Memphis, to mm-hmm. come here, do you remember that decision?
Yep.
What was in your mind that night and what put Memphis, or was it Cal
yep.
just saying, come? What put it over the top? The decision.
It's the first time I've told this story. I was verbally committed to Arizona.
Stop.
Yep.
Stop.
I was verbally committed to Arizona. Josh Pastner.
Stop.
Listen.
No.
Please tell me.
Listen.
Yes.
Josh Pastner called me 8 to 10 times a day before I committed. He was the most relentless.
He was, we know.
Recruiter.
He wants to bring you up. He won't.
Lou Dosen came to my. I lived in like one of the toughest parts of Detroit, mm-hmm. 30th and McGraw, West Side Detroit. And Lou Dosen came to my home, and when Lou Dosen came, I fell asleep. Yeah.
While he was talking.
While he was talking, he was in my living
Brother,
room.
That was so disrespectful.
And I fell asleep. Hey, this is why.
Happened. Don't get me wrong.
And
And this what led me to Memphis. I realized that he was internet recruiting me. Josh Pastner wasn't, but Lou Dosen didn't know my game. He didn't know my game. So when he was talking, it was boring. That's just the truth. He did not know my game, and I recognized that like 30 minutes into my home visit. But I was still verbally committed because Josh Pastner and the prestige of being at Arizona. So one night, it was late night, Coach Cal called my cell phone, and he was like, "All right, is your recruiting still open?" And I was thinking about like how I fell asleep. mm-hmm. on Josh Pat, I mean, on Lou Dolson, but I was still verbally committed.
Right.
And I told Cal, yeah, because I didn't sign any paper. I was verbally committed. So Cal and Derek Kellogg come to my home. And I had like 8 guys on the porch, and these are like gangsters, you know?
Cal wasn't scared. He never was, right? He come right on.
Lou Dolson was scared, though.
I bet.
And that was the point. I wanted to like show them who I really was. Like, this is who I am. These are my people. This is what we look like, too.
That's right.
Cal came, gave everybody high fives, and that was impressive to me. And then when he came in my home, he hung his own coat up. That was impressive to me. And then he was telling me things that other coaches weren't telling me, like, you're going to go to Memphis and be a man. Everybody else was promising me things, some legal, you know, some yeah, not.
Sure.
I wasn't in it for that.
Gotcha.
I wanted to be the best player I could be, and I wanted to earn my stripes.
Wow.
And that's what Cal was telling me. Like, you're not going to, I mean, we're not going to promise you a starting spot.
Yeah.
But you can come in and earn your keep. And also, Cal was just more relatable to us, mm-hmm. like Penny is to this class. They can go YouTube Penny's highlights and be like, yeah, we like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And same thing with Cal. I remember him going to bat for his players like Marcus Camby and DeJuan Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
It was certain things that make you a great coach, and it doesn't necessarily have everything to do with on court.
What you doing on court?
So that's how I ended up in Memphis.
This is the best story of all time.
That's how I ended up in Memphis, and I committed to Memphis without ever visiting.
Wow.
I never visited. The first time I was in Memphis was after I committed.
My mind is blown right now.
And wait, so.
Like, empty the clip. Like, yeah. Like let's just, we're here.
Yeah,
know?
So look, I was still verbally committed
right
to Arizona. And I was also verbally committed to Memphis at the same time.
You forgot to decommit from Arizona?
Exactly. So Josh Pastner called me. He didn't know that I committed to Memphis, right?
Poor Josh.
So I had to break the news to him. Like, I'm decommitting from Arizona. This is important for the history of Memphis.
It is.
I decommitted from Arizona, this prestigious university with Lou Dolson, Damon Stoudemire, all these names. And I came to Memphis with the railroad tracks in the middle of the campus, considered a mid-major, because that's what my heart led me to do. And look what happened. Look what happened.
Look at us now.
Yeah.
Look what happened.
Look at y'all now.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
I don't know how I'm supposed to do the rest of the show now.
Yeah. Like, it's going to be hard to like talk about
we
anything
We got stories,
else.
Man.
I mean, falling asleep on Lou Dolson.
He was boring as hell.
Luke slept on you.
He wasn't. I mean,
hey, that's thank a promo. God that's a promo, Brad. We got to get that one for the next promo. He was boring as hell.
He was boring as hell. With all due respect, and that's a lesson for any coach or anybody in any profession. You have to do your research.
Yeah.
I wasn't just like another kid, just enamored with the University of Arizona.
Right.
I wanted to go to somewhere where I felt like they understood me and that I could feel comfortable at. I felt once Luke didn't understand my game, I could have possibly been walking into like a death trap.
No doubt.
And got lost in the sauce just because I wanted to go to a school that had a big name. And that's what's happening now. Like, kids are going to mid-majors where they can play. It's not just about the university or the prestige of it.
Absolutely legendary. How long y'all in Memphis for?
Till Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Might see y'all.
Oh,
you might see Bay out here running.
I wanted to hoop. I mean, I'm not going to hoop this trip.
Yeah.
But I kind of want to hoop. A lot of people think I don't, I have it still.
I have an alumni league. To kind of get your feet wet again, right?
Okay.
It's been 2 years.
It's been 2 years.
Yeah, so I think.
I'm still nice, though.
It would be
perfect. Still nice.
We could get you out there. We play on Tuesday nights.
Where at?
ECS High School.
so we can get you out there.
I think there's another level of game, maybe. I mean, Lori Walton is beckoning y'all right now to come home right now. There's a lot going on that you need.
Yeah.
You need to go see.
I'm gonna check
it out. You might want to bounce that thing in.
Definitely. Yeah, you definitely need to shoot a jumper in. Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Supreme Raven, this was amazing.
It was amazing.
Thank y'all.
Thank you for having us.
And
again,
thank you so much. The website one more time for the scholarship.
Oh, it's www.cdrsupremedream.org. And also, originally we came to Memphis this weekend to have a poker event,
yes,
right? And just due to the weather and so many other things, we actually are postponing that.
Gotcha.
Right. And so we actually will be back.
Well, that's a good one.
In July, yeah. So my sister, who is very much part of putting all this together, she's trying to organize the dates right now. But we're definitely going to try to come back within the month where it's not raining cats and dogs.
Yeah.
And we can do more more promotion and get more applicants to, you know, to apply. Mm-hmm. And then we will be back. So, again,
very
we
cool.
wanted this to be like our starting footprint. And coming back to Memphis and getting familiar again and, like, looking at our old stomping grounds and then, again, trying to build from there. So we will be back. Right now it's going to be probably the middle of July that we'll have our poker event where we can, you know, continue to raise money.
Well, I hope y'all know and always feel that you always have a platform here.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Yeah. We really appreciate y'all.
Thank you guys for
appreciate you guys.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.